Hopalong's Dream, Part 3, page 177, the last paragraph. That's paragraph 4. As Hopalong lay there and thought about what he was going to do, he glanced up and saw that something seemed to have taken a small bite out of the wide eye of Gloom Glow. He had no way of knowing that he was now seeing what man calls a partial eclipse. All he knew was that the eye of Gloomglow wasn't as round and full as it had been when it had crept into the sky. Then he looked at the big staring eyes of Lepus and he had an idea. He had noticed that, unlike foxes, hares had their eyes in the sides of their heads instead of in front. The reason for that, he thought, was probably to enable them to see danger coming from either side. And it occurred to him that if that was so, they might not be able to see forward or upward as well as foxes. Hoping he was right, Hopalong waited until the moon had gone behind the clouds. Then he got up and hobbled over to Lepus. "I accept your challenge," he told the leader of the hares. "You jump first, so that I may see what I have to beat." "Ha!" laughed Lepus. "And so you shall see." With that, he gave a mighty leap into the night sky and landed about 15 feet away. "Now," he said proudly, "beat that." The watching hares grinned widely and rubbed their forefeet together. Hopalong's friends had been listening and watching in silence. They knew well he could not possibly jump as high. At the same time, they realised he must have something in mind, so they stayed silent. "Well," taunted Lepus, "why don't you jump?" "In a moment," said Hopalong, keeping a sly eye on the moon. "I'm just collecting my strength." He could see the moon was still behind the clouds. "True," he went on, playing for time, "you have made a great leap, almost as high as the wide eye of Gloomglow. But I will do better. I will jump so high that I will take a bite out of the very eye of Gloomglow." The hares laughed and cocked their heads to one side to try and see the moon. It was just beginning to edge its way from behind the clouds, the shadow of the eclipse still hidden from their view. Hopalong crouched low into a ball, launched himself into the sky with all the strength he could muster, and snapped his teeth with an almighty bark. The moon had now come out from behind the clouds, and even the hares could see that a bite had been taken out of it. Frightened, they cowered back and screamed as if in agony. Hopalong's friends, on the other hand, jumped forward and barked in sheer delight at his success. True to his word, Lepus silenced the gathering of hares and said, "Hopalong, truly you are a great fox. Never before have I seen any living creature do such a thing. You are all free to go now, and in honour of your great achievement, if there is any favour we can bestow upon you, you need only ask." Hopalong thanked him, but explained that the greatest gift they could have was their freedom, and now that they had it, they were anxious to move on. Lepus wished them luck, and the gathering of hares sent them on their way with a great cheer. When they had left the hares and the high country well behind them, the foxes stopped to regain their composure and to rest. "You have done well, Hopalong," said old Sage Brush. "That was truly a trick worthy of Vulpes himself." The others congratulated him too, and wanted to know how he did it. What magic had he wrought to take a bite out of the eye of Gloomglow? They asked. "No magic," replied Hopalong. "It's thanks to our leader, old Sage Brush, that I was able to do it. Hasn't he taught us to use our cunning instead of our strength? I realized he knew I could not win by strength, so I did what he told Blacktip and Skulking Dog to do back on the hill. I lay down to see all that I could see, and I knew that I could see more than the hares. Knowing that we had faith in our own survival, the great god Vulpes did the rest." There the dream faded from Hopalong's mind. A short time later, on the banks of a slow-moving stream, Hopalong and his fellow foxes woke up and looked around them. Pieces of plastic fertilizer bag flapped in the hedge nearby, and a discarded green bottle littered the stream. What had happened, he asked himself. Had they really been away in the land of the hares? Had he really outjumped Lepus the Great, or had it all been a dream? He looked up at the moon, but it only smiled back and told him nothing. Then he looked down at the place where his paw should be, and he knew it had to be a dream. However, he also knew now that he was learning from old sagebrush. Rising quickly, they crossed the stream and slipped away into the fields beyond.